Welcome to the 246th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. I'm in quarantine in my office, all by myself. Staff is gone. I'm maintaining the phones here for the rest of the afternoon, and then I'll be at home with my dogs in backyard and garden. Obviously, anybody that's out there knows that just about every marathon in the world has been canceled, including the Asheville Marathon, so that won't be happening this week. I've still been running. We're probably going to do a couple of runs this weekend. Whether we do a half and a long on our own remains to be seen, but we'll get out and see how it is. But everybody's hanging in. We are still on for our conference next weekend, but we're going to do it live audio. So if you haven't got over there to eventbrite.com or drdelaney.com, drdelaney.com to get your tickets, please do so. We're going to have live streaming of Pam Popper, Karen Hartglass, Addie Minerich, and myself. And we'll have time for a Q&A at the end. And there'll be a lunch break, so you have time to stretch. The conference will be recorded, and it will be available for a month afterwards for those people purchasing tickets. We'll send you a transcript of the slides via Dropbox, so you can follow along with the slides along with the talk. So it should be a good day. You know, we'll be there together. You'll be kind of inside anyway, since we're all quarantined, so we might as well enjoy each other's company and learn a little bit. You know, I start out with what's going on outside. I still go outside every day, still go out and get the sunshine. I think that's really important this time of year, this time of COVID-19 season. So go out and get your sunshine, obviously by yourself or, you know, within the designated space of other people. You know, keep your activity, keep your running up. It's a nice time to do your body weight exercises outside. Again, the sunlight is very important. Vitamin D helps your immune system. And that's what it's all about right now, is protecting yourself. This is a great time to reverse diabetes, reverse hypertension, and make your lungs stronger. So what we eat and what we exercise is really, really important in times where the sickest of us or those with the most chronic diseases are going to be the people that have the most trouble with this infection. We know that COVID-19 affects what we call the ACE2 receptor on the lung, kidney, and heart. So it's more likely to cause problems in those organs, especially people that have pre-existing conditions. Whether or not ACE inhibitors and ARBs such as Prinivel and Losartan are protective or more harmful, we don't know at this stage, but we do know that people with hypertension are not doing as well, and people with diabetes are not doing well with this, as well with this virus as people that are healthy, mainly because of their underlying other comorbid conditions and their overall immunity. When you have diabetes, your immune system is not functioning appropriately. You're more inflamed. You're making more inflammatory compounds, so it's harder to take care of yourself. So we would like to have everybody eating just to fight the COVID virus, not eating to have to fight the diseases that we already have. So, you know, several years back, we had Hurricane Charley in Port Charlotte. It was devastating. It closed the town down for a long period of time. There were power outages for a long period of time. You know, I worked in a food line myself, handing out food, and people didn't know how to cook for themselves. And they didn't know what to do with pasta, and they didn't know what to do with beans because they were used to going through a drive-in window. And people actually gained weight during the period when there wasn't power and there people weren't working because they overconsumed and under exercised. So people were sitting around eating everything in their freezers, you know, meat first. And we're seeing that right now with this virus. If you go to the grocery stores, you're seeing that the counters are, you know, the meat counters are wiped out. The junk food is wiped out. I've seen people, you know, with, you know, sugary drinks and, you know, Lucky Charms and sugary, you know, other sugary cereals and comfort foods. This is not the time for comfort foods. This is the time to bulk up your nutrition. This is time to cook with your family and to teach your family how to cook. So all those things that we don't have time for, now is a good time to do it. So make that big pot of beans. You have time to soak it and get up in the morning. Make some bread. Make some whole wheat bread. You know, do your potatoes, do your, you know, and make some, and make your soups. You know, you can put some of those in the freezers to have, you know, in case somebody does get sick, you can pull out, you know, some of the soups. We are real fond of our immune-boosting miso soup, where I roast garlic and onion and then add that to a miso broth and add mushrooms to that. You can add, you know, add greens to that. You can add tofu to that. You know, eating your fruit every morning, it doesn't have to be fresh if you can't get to it. But I've seen in the produce section, there's nothing much missing. So there were plenty of oranges and plenty of grapefruits here in Florida. And there seems to be that all over the place. So you might not find the, you know, the bananas people say, or, you know, bananas are missing. But you know what? There's more vitamin C in oranges. Get lemons, you know, put lemon. We did zucchini with lemon juice on it to add, you know, anytime you can add vitamin C. Tomatoes, doesn't have to be fresh tomatoes. You can do the box tomatoes or canned tomatoes. Try to get the ones without salt. But, you know, those things are very, very healthy. Peppers, you know, there are... El Toro makes a hot pepper now and tomatoes that doesn't have any salt. You can get a hold of those if you can't find fresh peppers. But I haven't seen a shortage of peppers, you know, on the shelf. So get those mushrooms, onions, cabbage. You know, it's just St. Patrick's Day. Happy belated St. Patrick's Day. Lots of cabbage on the shelf. Cabbage keeps, so you can get two or three heads of that, and you can make some sauerkraut with half a head. Chop it up fine, put it in a mason jar, put about a teaspoon of salt in there. Yes, there's going to be some sodium, but over the whole jar, and you can rinse it off, let it sit on your counter for about 3 days. You put a piece of cabbage over top of that so that the cabbage stays down under the water. You put some kind of a weight. I've even used a golf ball on top of mine to hold that down, but there's lots of DIY fermentation things out there. You don't have to buy new equipment. Just regular old jar with a lid on it will work. You know, use that cabbage, make a cabbage soup. You can do cabbage rolls. So there's all kinds of things you can do with cabbage to repurpose it. It's going to be nitric oxide producing, antioxidant producing. So it's, you know, a great way to go. So, you know, that's really, you know, my COVID recommendations at this part. You know, continue to exercise. This is a great time to do more mobility work. You know, my son-in-law Nathan has put up some videos where he is working out in his garage, and he's used a 2x4 with some sand buckets on each end to do squats. You know, bodyweight squats without itself. You have paint cans in the garage. You can use the paint cans. Carry your kids around. You know, this is a good time to go outside and play with your kids, but don't have other kids over. You know, you don't need to risk them coming over or risk where they've been, but go outside and play with your kids. This is a great time for that. Use your head. You know, don't expose yourself to places where you don't need to be. If you go to the grocery store, have a list. Go in, get your stuff, go out. This is not the time to read labels. You know what you need, get the basics, get in, get out. I'm not entirely sure how long this virus lives on things. If you get packages delivered and you have a sunny day, let it outside a little bit. Let it get some sun on it. Get a pair of latex gloves or non-latex rubber gloves and you know, use that to get gasoline when you need to get, you know, if you're even in going to the grocery store, especially if you're immunocompromised, wear gloves, go in, come back out, wash your hands, keep hand sanitizer in the car. If you've run out of commercially produced hand sanitizer, get yourself a little container and, you know, fill it up halfway with rubbing alcohol and halfway, you know, add some water to that, add some vegetable glycerin that you could get at your local health food store, add some tea tree oil. It's not going to be a bad compromise until you can get home and use good old soap and water. The virus is made of cholesterol and lipids, lipid and protein, so that, you know, just regular old soap is going to break that down and eliminate it. So don't be afraid to wash your hands as many times as you need to. Try to not touch your face. Keep your hair back. You know, it's a great time to wear a headband or a ball cap if you're out, so you don't have to keep touching your face. Use a Kleenex, throw it away. Use paper towels, throw it away. I put up on my website a do-it-yourself mask if you know need be. I like these un- paper towels that you can get. I got mine off of Amazon. They're probably a 3 times thickness paper towel, or a product that's biodegradable. It's soft. You can bend it in half and make a mask out of those things if need be. You know, certainly if somebody gets sick or you have, you know, you're going to have to go someplace that you're exposed. Try not to expose older people. Young people need to be aware that just because they can survive this more likely than an older person does not mean that they should go around cavalier and get themselves infected and make this disease go. We need to respect older individuals. So stay home if you're young. Yes, I know you can, you know, you can probably tolerate it, but that doesn't mean you need to drag it back to your parents or drag it back to your community and spread it around. You know, it may take 3 or 4 days before somebody gets sick. So, you know, don't be so cavalier about, oh, I'm gonna be okay. We're trying to contain this virus that we know from looking at Italy will pass very, very rapidly. So, you know, be kind to others and also be, you know, thoughtful about others and, you know, what you're doing is going to affect several people around you. It's estimated that one person can infect at least 4 or 5 people. And that's without trying. So, you know, stay away from other people. This is not the time to go sit in bars and drink beer and do things of that nature. Stay home. I'm sure you can find something better to do with your time. Learn how to make a DIY mask if need be. Read a book. Anyway, that's my thought on that process. I think it's very interesting that, you know, this podcast is all about plant-based wellness and exercise and how we can reverse lifestyle diseases such as diabetes and coronary artery disease and in autoimmune diseases and some cancers and delay cancers from coming back. And, you know, part of the problem that we're in now is that we have so many people with these lifestyle diseases that the overall health of our population is poor. You know, people are on medications and they think things are controlled, but you know, the reality of it is it's, you know, we're a society that's put together with duct tape right now. And, you know, a lot of people have had their head in their head in the sand about, you know, will these diseases really hurt me? Or when, you know, people have high blood pressure for a long time before they have their stroke, they have high blood pressure a long time before they have their first heart attack. They have a high blood pressure a long time before their kidneys start to fail. They have high blood pressure a long time before their dementia kicks in. Their kidneys aren't normal for a long time before they need dialysis. You have, you know, rheumatoid arthritis for a long time before you use a walker. So these diseases start slow and sometimes the course is indolent and then they, you know, get bad over time. And so people ignore them. You know, we do a little bit, change your diet a little bit, you know, 3 days doing well and then another day not doing well, or it's not convenient to eat well and, you know, go out and accept subpar food and things like that because we can't see the effects right away. And I think that, you know, maybe the good that'll come out of this virus is that, you know, the chronic diseases that we've been ignoring are really the ones that are going to destroy us in times of an acute problem. So right now it's COVID-19. It's the virus that's spreading and playing havoc with people that are sicker, more so than people that aren't at this stage. And overwhelming, potentially, our healthcare in a lot of areas, especially in the big cities right now. But it's moving, you know, it's moving across the country. So we actually, you know, we need to prepare ourselves by eliminating these lifestyle diseases or attacking them right now. So, you know, now at least we're getting our head out of the sand. You know, people are coming for the first time, having to look their own mortality in the eye, because if, you know, you get this virus, nobody knows exactly how you're going to respond. And certainly if you are ill or you know someone that's ill, it's a very stressful time and how they'll actually respond to the virus. But that gives you the opportunity every minute of every day to do something. You know, every minute's a clean slate to try something different. So, you know, so now is the time that every day counts. We don't have any more days to worry about the future or ignore the future. A lot of us are sitting around or going and stockpiling things that we don't need. It's not really, toilet paper is not going to save us, but maybe greens and some citrus will save us. Complaining about not having something or not being able to do something is not nearly as important as what you can actually do with your time today. So if you haven't called somebody up that you've lost touch with, now's probably the time to call somebody up and get in touch with them, ask them how they are. Maybe it's the time to reconnect with some relatives that you haven't had much to do with. It's also the time to look at your health and see what you can do today. So make yourself out an exercise plan. Start yourself out. You're not going to go from 0 to 100, but maybe this is the time to say, hey, maybe I need to start training for something. I'm going to set a goal and map it out on the calendar and start today. Start a process. I think this is a great idea because, what happens the next time, even with the onset of a natural disaster, being able to lift and tug and pull and be without, survive in the heat, survive in the cold. I think we have to prepare for those things now, and a lot of that comes with diet and exercise, your nutrition and exercise. So let's use this as an opportunity to focus now instead of, well, I'm going to do it tomorrow, or I'm going to transition into it gradually. Let's transition into it now full force and do what we can to make ourselves healthier. Next week was supposed to be our immersion week, and we had planned a 5K on Tuesday. Running across the harbor at 7 a.m., I would invite everybody that can to go run a 5K next Tuesday morning and send me an email or send a picture or post an Instagram and tag me, that you're going out and doing some exercise. Again, I think it's a great way to kick off your nutrition by joining our conference, our audio conference next week. We're going to talk about medical testing, psychiatric medications, preventing, lifestyle diseases. I'm going to talk about nature versus nurture. Is our genes, is it our genes? Is it our environment? What's the relationship between the both of them? What can we do to not only extend our lifespan, but our health span? Addie's going to be talking about nutrition with regard to your immune function. What a better time. She's also going to talk about your nutrition with regards to dementia. So I hope you'll join us for that. I think it'll be very informative. Again, there'll be time to ask questions and we can improve this community. It's an interesting time, when we talk about our lifestyle diseases having a genetic component. Dr. Esselstyn, a lot of people will throw out that we think that genetics account for 5 to 10% and our environment is much more important. I think we're finding that, there are a lot of genes that make us more susceptible to lifestyle diseases, but it's not just one gene, one chromosome, like in some diseases, but heart disease and cancers and autoimmune disease, there's probably scattered genes throughout our genome that interact with themselves, interact with things that turn them on and turn them off, interact with our environment. So it makes it very complicated. And taken to a different extreme with COVID-19 and viruses and trying to come up with a vaccine, our ability to insert genetic material into bacteria, into single and multi-cell embryos is evolving. And, that's going to play a big role in the future of our treatment for some of these diseases. There's a great book that I'll reference throughout the talk that I give next weekend. It's called The Gene by Siddhartha Mukherjee. And he does an excellent job. It's a giant read, Harry Potter pages type book that really goes through the history of heredity and genetics and DNA and how we've come along. And really, it's been in a pretty short window of time that we've we've learned. And, it, you know, in reading the book, I was, you know, you take a lot of things for granted that, you know, we thought we've, you know, when you think about it, just like the cell phone, you know, it's like, who can remember not having one? And who can remember not knowing about, you know, genes and chromosomes? But the reality of it is the majority of our knowledge on how different genes interact and the actual sequence of things are pretty recent. And, you know, it continues to evolve. And but along the way, there have been, you know, a lot of, I guess, stumbles. You know, when we, if you look back into the 20s, when we looked at people and decided, you know, which people were people that we should keep and which people would be better off not reproducing. And there were some really bad laws and bad things done. Of course, then it escalated in Nazi Germany with trying to, you know, the field of eugenetics, basically trying to, or the desire to have a certain type of race became very, very dangerous. But then there were also some recent problems, you know, with trying to speed up some of the insertion of new genes to prevent diseases that have resulted in harm and slowing down of the progress. So, you know, just because we can doesn't necessarily mean that we should. And we don't know what changing one gene will do to its interaction with other genes necessarily at this point. And we don't know what changing those genes in an embryo might do for that embryo's children. And so it's a interesting time, but it's also a scary time. And, you know, again, that has to do with, you know, some of the virus researches as well. So, you know, we take for granted that we want a vaccine immediately. We want a treatment immediately for things. But that, you know, altering and doing, you know, recombinant type therapies is not without significant risk. The last thing I'm going to talk about today is an article in Nature magazine that just came out. It's more of a report, not really a research article or anything, but it's talking about, again, the spread of this COVID-19 virus. And there was a meeting with some geneticists. They were 24 of them scattered throughout the United States, but they had a meeting, and one of them came down with COVID-19, but the others didn't find out until 4 to 5 days later through a tweet, and they got the notice from the Department of Health from Utah a day later, and obviously they were upset that it took that much time for them to be notified. The person that was infected was in the intensive care unit, and during that time, you know, one of the geneticists had dinner with his 84-year-old mother who had asthma, and 84-year-old dad had diabetes and cardiovascular disease. And it took them, you know, a significant amount of time to actually sit down and figure out who their contacts were. And so by the time they knew, you know, they'd had a lot more contacts. And that really, again, I'm going to stress the idea that just because somebody doesn't have the disease doesn't mean that they're not unhealthy. And, you know, if a close contact of somebody with COVID should come down with it, the recommendation is that they should be quarantined themselves for 14 days. But this rapid testing policy is not, it's not widely being employed, and it's not uniformly being employed, and what we do with the tests aren't necessarily being widely. So, there, you know, there's so much that we're unorganized about this. In Colorado, they only reached out to the elderly or unhealthy contacts of people that had COVID-19. In California, you know, and one of the highest, you know, it's number three right now as far as the number of infected people. In Sacramento, the state's capital, they are not contacting contacts of people who have been diagnosed. In Washington, again, the highest affected, they're not investigating the contacts, and that is one mechanism that has been shown in China and other places where they've been able to settle this down a little bit, that is really in need, that if somebody, you know, knows that they've been exposed, they need to quarantine themselves and not continue to, you know, be or be infectious. And so people need to get tested if they think they have the disease so that they don't infect other people, and they need to sit down. In Singapore, they're having people sit down that are testing positive, and they give them 2 hours to come up with, you know, who they've been around, and so that those people can be contacted. Right now in the United States, we think there's 53,000 cases, but that's not the, you know, those all haven't been confirmed. When you do testing, you can see how things are spreading, you know, if it's staying on surfaces, which would affect deliveries. You know, if you have a town that's not being infected, but, you know, Amazon or whatever's coming in, it's cold and the virus is sitting on packages and it's there, or perhaps into the transportation of food, it'd be, you know, be nice to know by getting tested. So I think that it's really important, again, to try to keep yourself isolated. And if you have been around somebody that's been infected, you need to quarantine yourself, and you need to let people know. And even if you're suspicious, you should let people know. For instance, in our office, the husband of one of my employees was exposed to a man that had fevers. So when we found out that exposure existed, we sent her home to, you know, be quarantined, not taking any chances of infecting any of our patients or anyplace else. And of course, you know, we practice good hygiene in the office with, you know, wiping things down and wiping counters off, you know, relatively soon. But again, if people aren't tracking down who they've been in contact with, you just don't know. So take it serious at this point. I don't think we need to be alarmists, but take it serious. Eat your own food. Make sure that you're washing things good. If you're immunocompromised, I would suggest you go to more frozen foods at this point, just to make sure in the short period of time. Get yourself stocked up. I think that it's going to be more than just 4 or 5 more days that we're quarantined, or that we're, you know, in a decrease your contact with others situation. It might even get worse. So stock up at home and take care of yourself. And I will talk to you soon.